Hello, everyone. This is Latrice Collins, and welcome to the Career Brand Blog Talk Radio. Each week, we focus on ways that we can help you to do a few things, all related to building your career. Either we're focusing on ideas and techniques for building your career brand, which is how people see you, or we're focusing on giving you tips to how to ace that job, how to do better in your career, or how to find the job of your dreams. Over the past 4 weeks, we have been working through what we've called the Job Mastermind Series. And in that series, we've been building you up on teaching you everything from how to network, how to identify what to do in interviews, you know, how to build your strategies. And today, we are focusing on finding and working with recruiters. Now, the reason that has been so important is because many of you know that sometimes recruiters call you, sometimes you call them, and this was a perfect opportunity for us to really help you to understand how to build your strategy around that particular topic. Now, this is a short show, so we only have about 20-something minutes, but I'm really excited to say that I have two fantastic guests that are perfect for this particular topic. My first guest today is a return guest, and that is Foster Williams. And Foster is the founder of the Career Network Solutions. Foster, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Hello, America.
Now, Foster is a semi-retired recruiter with over 30 years of experience with global and strategic talent acquisition leader. He's the founder of both the Search for You, Inc., and the co-founder and a driving force behind the Career Search Network. He's in Dallas. I mean, and his whole this organization is based in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, as well as in Austin and in Houston and some areas in California. He currently also creates and mentors job seekers network groups, which is really phenomenal. If you haven't had a chance, listen to the last show we had on I Just Got Laid Off, What Do I Do Now? That was with Foster Williams as well, and really giving you some ideas on what to do and what kind of network groups to kind of link to. Now, my second guest is Chris Gustafson. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Latrice. Happy to be here.
Well, Chris is the national sales recruiter. He's the founder also of Gustafson Powered Recruiting. Now, Chris has spent a career with international and Fortune 500 companies as well as startups. So, guys, this is the person you also want to hear because he knows all shapes and sizes of companies and what they're looking for. Now, he prefers to focus on sales positions in companies he recruits for. He's worked with numerous industries, including telecom, IT, construction, real estate, advertisement. I mean, he is all over the place on really knowing his game. He created his own specialty recruiting firm named Gustafson Power Recruiting LLC, excuse me, and he's an avid networker, which is, you know, what we've been talking about over the past few shows, that is really about really talking, meeting people, building relationships, and using that information to help link people to jobs. So thank you so much, Chris, for joining the show.
Thank you.
So as you all know, if you are interested in calling in, I'm going to give you that number one more time in case you have questions for these two gentlemen. The number for calling in is 347-324-5330. That's 347-324-5330. Again, this is Latrice Collins, and you are on the Career Brand Blog Talk Radio. So, gentlemen, I am going to jump into this so we can give the people all that they can handle in this 30-minute period, in this 30-minute show.
Absolutely.
So during this show, we will talk about finding and working with recruiters. Are there different types of recruiters, and if so, what are they?
There are many, many different types of recruiters. Majority of the recruiters that job seekers will face will be multifaceted recruiters of recruiting. What I mean by that are recruiters that will be recruiting for all types of different skill sets. When you have corporate recruiters, they're responsible for many, many different skill sets that a company like an IBM or a Verizon or, you know, the larger companies will use them in a multifaceted type of role. You might be hiring, those recruiters might be trying to assist to hire finance, IT, marketing, any number of different departments.
So when we're talking about corporate recruiters, so there are some recruiters that you pay as the person looking for a job, and then there's other recruiters that the company pays. How do you distinguish between, how do people know the difference in the two?
Well, it'll be real easy, because if the recruiter's asking you for money, you'll know right away. But generally speaking, I know there are three broad categories. Sponsored Touch, on one, the corporate recruiter, as a candidate, job seeker, you'll never have to pay them. There are agency recruiters that get assignments from various companies for various positions. You should also never have to pay them, because they'll get their fee from the client company. And then there are headhunters as well, which get retainers or search fees from the client company. Very rarely should a job candidate have to pay a recruiter, unless there's a very special or unique situation that warrants it.
Okay. So we have the corporate recruiters, we have the agency recruiters, and we have the headhunters. And usually if you're going to pay any of them, it will be the headhunter, but rarely do you have to do that considering these other two, right?
The standard thing out in the work world is that the companies pay for the candidates. Now, there are some companies that will call and they will offer to do a well-rounded search for you. And what I mean by that, they'll look for companies and they'll help you fix your resume, and they'll get you out on the various mediums and vehicles that we use for folks to be able to see our resumes. And in the small print on some of these contracts, they will tell you, this will be a $3,500 fee or maybe even $30,000 fee payable by you, the candidate. I don't think that is necessary. If these companies were able to do all the things that they say they were going to do and charge you that money, they would have a history of being a lot more successful at it. Given everything that we have created with the Career Search Network and the Search For You website and many other tools that we use and we teach job seekers to use and how to go find a job and what to do when you find a job, it's really just not necessary for folks to have to pay a company to do all those things for them.
Okay, good. So I'm hearing a couple things. I'm hearing one, right now, with all the technology and with these different tools that's out there and network groups such as yours, Foster, with that, individuals searching for jobs should be able to look in their local area and really find some assistance in helping without necessarily having to pay the headhunter. But what I also heard, I don't remember if it was Chris or Foster who said it, I heard, look at the fine print. For anybody working with you, to make sure it doesn't say that you owe them a certain amount of money for doing that, for helping you to search for that job.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, what about if you used a agency recruiter or a corporate recruiter, is there a chance that you're locked in for a certain period of time where you have to pay, like, the fee? Is that such a thing?
Say that again, Latrice.
Sure. So, for instance, let's say you use an agency recruiter. And you start working for XYZ Corporation. And so usually because you start working for them and that agency found you, the company, XYZ, pays the agency that fee, right?
Right.
But is it
right.
possible that if you then quit 6 months in other words, you didn't stay a full year, you quit 6 months in, does that mean you have to pay any of that fee back, or are you clear from having to pay anything if you got placed because of a agency?
The job seeker should be, and I say should be, clear. There are some companies out there that have that write contracts to make sure that they get reimbursed of that money. And, of course, they'll like to put that on the candidate. But, that's really not the best practice, I'll put it that way, for a lack of better explanation.
Okay. But if it is there, it's probably written in a contract. So, for instance, I think if I'm hearing you all correctly. So if you get with an agency and they're helping to place you, the companies are paying them, so they don't care about the pay at that point, but they might have included in their contract with you that if they find you a position that, you know, that if they're penalized because you quit, that you'd have to pay them back or something like that. Just that's a possibility of a fine print.
Some do, usually. I'm sorry, I'm just cutting you off. Some do. Usually, a company will write it in the contract for their client company that if Foster quits work before he's supposed to, then we would like to have a right to backfill. In other words, we'll go find you somebody else and put it out there and make sure you get somebody else because Foster quit, so that it can be as seamless as possible.
Okay. So how do people find these recruiters? So I know a lot of people are struggling trying to, and it might be in a specialty niche, right? And some people would love to find either the corporate recruiters or the agency recruiters to help them in their search. How do they do that?
Well, there's a couple different ways, and a couple ways it could and should work. More often than not, the recruiter will find them if they have a resume out on a resume database, or they have a robust LinkedIn profile. Whether it's an agency recruiter or a corporate recruiter, if they have an order they need to fill, they're going to be out looking for candidates. So they need to have, the candidates need to have, like I said, a robust resume and profile with contact information, so the recruiter can reach out. Now, if a particular candidate is, has a certain level of experience in a certain niche industry, and they want to take a proactive step to go out and find people to be their advocate in searching for new opportunities, they can do anything from a simple Google search,
right,
to networking with people within their known industry and get referrals. And usually it happens just by somebody opening their mouth and asking the simple question. I tell Foster, hey, I'm looking for a recruiter in this particular field. Who would be good to talk to? Well, Foster gives me a name or two, and then I talk to them, and then each of them gives me a name. And so it can spread from there. But you can start with a simple Google search if you like.
So a Google search, just looking up agency recruiters, and go from there.
I would ask Google, say if you're in healthcare, if you're a project manager, you can put into Google Dallas area project management recruiters, and it will pull up a number of different options for you to go to. And, you might want to do some further fine-tuning or digging into that information that pops up on the Google search. It's kind of dig in a little bit further. You'll eventually get to where you want to. But I advocate the use of LinkedIn very, very heavily, and here's why. They've got subgroups, specialty subgroups on LinkedIn. I have no idea how many it is. It's well over probably 10,000 now, with LinkedIn been around so long. But you can zero in, say if you're a marketing professional, you can zero in and become a part of one of those marketing subgroups. You can see all the activity on a chat, on some of the chat portions of these Yahoo groups, or not Yahoo groups, of these LinkedIn groups, and you can see recruiters that are actively recruiting for those skill sets that lie in that specialty group. All of the people in this particular group are marketing individuals. Some of them are CMOs. Some of them might be marketing specialists. Some of them might be directors, VPs of marketing, all over the place. I'm just using marketing as an example. And those recruiters that recruit for those people, if you see them consistently posting jobs for marketing professionals, you can pretty much guess that those folks are going to spend a lot of time. They either specialize in marketing, or they have many, many clients that are looking to them to bring their marketing professionals. One case here in Dallas-Fort Worth is the creative group. And so you can, through observation and just paying attention to what you're seeing in a repetitive type of basis, you can figure out who's doing what.
Sounds fantastic. So we've covered a lot. We're already halfway through our show. We're going to stop right quick for a commercial break, and then we're going to come back to really look at how to find the right recruiter and how to help expedite the process. So we'll be back in 1 minute.
We all know that companies have a brand, but what about you? What's your career brand? TheCareerBrand.com will help you identify your brand, your career brand. Navigating the career landscape can be daunting and challenging, but you don't have to go it alone. TheCareerBrand.com is dedicated to guiding professionals through the career branding process. With the use of cutting-edge tools, training, and consulting top career coach, author, and creator of TheCareerBrand.com, Latrice Collins. At TheCareerBrand.com, you will find incredible and useful career branding books by Latrice Collins that will show you the ways of breaking through the glass ceilings. Men and women of all ages have raved about the benefits they receive from these books. Also, don't miss Latrice Collins' webinar, Brand Ignition. Companies are always looking for the best talent. With Latrice Collins and the tools at TheCareerBrand.com, you will demonstrate to employers you are that talent. To learn more, visit TheCareerBrand.com.
And we're back. So before the break, we talked about the three different types of recruiters, the corporate, the agency, and the headhunters. They've talked about with all the tools and network groups that are available, you probably do not need to go down the direction of a headhunter at this time. You could really find a great deal of advantages through your agencies. They've talked very closely with Chris and Foster. They've also talked very closely about really looking at the kind of the small print to make sure that you're not financially obligated to any of them. And then we left off with Foster sharing with us on going to your internet and finding things and joining groups such as under LinkedIn, very powerful source right now. And Chris shared how recruiters are constantly looking to fill those slots. So they're going in to look and see, one, resumes that are posted on these job search line, on these job search sites. So it tells you to make sure you're in all the key sites. And they're looking at LinkedIn as well to see who's fitting those descriptions. So they're out there looking for you. You have to make sure you're present and available for them to get to, and all your contact information is there. So now that they know that, so a recruiter, now we have recruiters calling people. The next question would be, so how do you find the right recruiter for you?
You know, you're gonna do that. I am one of the biggest networkers in the United States. I advocate networking and relationships. I think there is not a single thing in a job search or any other piece of business that we cannot strengthen ourselves through a relationship with someone. So I think getting out and meeting people face to face, talking, building those relationships is the best way to do it all.
What about you, Chris? Any ideas for what a person should also look for in finding the right recruiter, and maybe even explain what that looks like and what that means?
Sure. And Foster's absolutely right. I agree with him 100%. But if someone's out there and they encounter a recruiter or come across a recruiter, obviously, you know, they've got some things going on in their career. They've got a lot of questions. Ask the recruiter your questions. Pay very close attention to how they answer, how they respond. Do you get it? I mean, a lot of it's just instinctual. Do you get an idea that this person is interested and or invested in what I have to offer and what I bring to the table? Or do they just kind of brush you off and you're just an interruption in the day? And I know this is a big issue for a lot of people, regardless of the type of recruiter you're dealing with, is do they return your calls? If you're calling a recruiter 2-3 times a day, chances are you're going to burn them out, and they probably will stop calling. But if you call once a week, maybe twice a week, depending on the specifics of the situation, and they respond, and I would say within 24 hours, you know, that's a good sign. That's a very good sign. So those are a couple things you'd want to watch out for.
And you can probably ask a question. I'm saying you could probably ask the recruiter questions like, have they positioned your resume with anyone? Is there anything that you need to add to it? If they haven't positioned you with anyone, the question would be why? You know, is there something else you need to do differently? And if they're evasive and not communicating, oh, no, it's fine, we just don't have anything now, you might want to consider, if you're not getting that feedback and if you're not getting that, that they're proactively helping you, then you may really want to consider looking for a second person to use.
Yep, right. One other element, too, that's important, and again, depending on the type of, especially for the headhunting recruiter, the headhunter type recruiter, is what type of relationship do they have with the client company? Do they have a retained search with the client company, which means they've got the company's ear, they've got their attention, because they also have a little bit of their money through the retainer that the company has paid the recruiter. So you know there's a good relationship there. Corporate recruiters, much the same way, they're in-house. They more than likely have access to the hiring managers, so there'll be a close relationship there as well. So their connection with the hiring authorities and the hiring companies will be very important to find out as well.
Chris, what was the other type? You said, for instance, if you're working with an agency recruiter, you said the first thing is, are they a retained search firm or are they a what? What's the other option? Is it called something else if it's not retained?
It's contingent.
Contingent, okay.
Which means that the recruiting company, the recruiter, doesn't get paid unless or until the client company hires one of their candidates.
Okay. So with that, there's a pro and con to that, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like clear pro and cons to both of them. Retained searches have relationships with the organization because they are already connected into them, doing consistent work with those particular organizations.
Uh-huh.
While
right.
contingent search might be a little hungrier to make sure they land you because they're only getting paid if they actually land a person in that company.
But they may not have the direct
relationship that that company has.
And a lot of companies that don't have their own recruiting internally might outsource their recruiting to a company like Chris's company or a company like Search for You that can do the recruiting for them. Now, these companies may or may not, according to the relationship they have with the client, may or may not have access to the hiring managers directly.
Mm-hmm.
The closer you are to the source of where you need to be is better.
Gotcha. So, okay, this is really good. So we have only a few minutes left. If you can tell me, so what would be, what's the best way? I think we might have answered this part on the best way to expedite and prepare for this is to make sure you have all your profiles up to date and your resumes are posted out there. Would you agree with
right.
that's a really good way of helping to expedite that process?
Absolutely. You want to have your stuff ready and ready to go no matter who's looking. Make it easy for recruiters and hiring managers to get to you, to find you.
Fantastic. So I'd like to give both of you gentlemen an opportunity to share with us tips that you would want to convey that we may not have covered already. We can just take a minute or so each to share. What are some tips to keep in mind for working with recruiters?
Well, one thing you'll want to focus on, the main thing with anyone, any person that you talk to, unless they're from Mars or Venus and they do things differently, but you want to develop as much of a rapport with a recruiter as you can, especially if you have a specific skill set like IT, you find a good IT recruiter, you want to build as good a relationship as you can with that recruiter, because in that recruiter's travels, they're going to run across a lot of client companies, people, different networks that they will remember you because you have a relationship with them, and you're looking for a job. And hey, there's a lot of information can be brought up and brought to your attention through these recruiters. A lot of recruiters are so helpful. If you develop a relationship with them, we are really not focused. We're more focused on helping people than we are making the money. Now, of course, if we can make a dollar and our companies can, that's great.
Foster, we have a caller on hold, too, that I want to make sure I take them right quick. We only got about 4 minutes left to show. Give me one second. Let me just take in the caller. So, caller, you are on the line. Thank you so much. This is Latrice Collins. What question do you have?
Hey, good afternoon. This is Judge calling from the Dallas-Fort Worth market, and I had a question for Foster and Chris. When connecting with a recruiter for the first time, is the number one step after you've connected in LinkedIn, is the number one step to get them your resume in their hands?
It is, especially if that recruiter is representing a job posting or somebody that they're looking for that you are a fit for, you want to do that expeditiously and be able to build as much rapport with that recruiter as you can.
Fantastic. Because I see Chris specializes in sales and marketing, and that's right up my alley, and he's the guy I'm looking for. So I connected with him this morning, and that's where I'll go. I'll go now and get him my resume.
Absolutely. That's how you do it. And it depends, too. Yeah, Foster mentioned it. If it's tied directly to a specific job posting or opening that you're aware of, absolutely. That leading document is your resume. If there's not a particular opening right now or a specific opening, then you just kind of keep the networking door open and you still send your resume. But because there isn't a job available this moment, it's not a big of a hurry. But you still want to
great.
Get it.
Well, I appreciate your guys' time, and I appreciate y'all doing this broadcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
calling, Jed. Thanks, Jed. Okay, I only got about a couple minutes left to the show, so that was fantastic to call in. Thank you so much, Jed. So, Chris, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners in about 1 minute that you want them to know about your agency? You got about 1 minute.
Well, again, if this whole conversation can be summed up in one word, I think that is networking. I think Foster and I hammer on that pretty good, and there's a good reason for that. I'm always willing to have a conversation with anybody in any part of the country. Like our caller just mentioned, we did connect on LinkedIn this morning, and he did it absolutely right. He sent a note. I didn't know him. He sent a note explaining who he was and why he was reaching out. And what the connection is, and that's very helpful. And you never know, from a business owner perspective, where the next opportunity is going to be. It could be from a candidate that might have a lead at a company that says, hey, you know what, they've got an opening. Maybe I can get you connected to the right person. But then that's a two-way street, obviously, because then the recruiter will represent lots of openings as well. So I think there's a lot of give and take, in that recruiter-candidate relationship.
Chris, can you tell us right quick, how do they get in contact with you if they want to reach you? And then I want to get Foster. We only have a few seconds left. Foster, if you can give that right after him. So, Chris, could you quickly tell our guests, how do they reach you?
Absolutely. I think the quickest and best way is LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Always. And if you're reaching out to somebody that you do not know but you want to know them and want to connect, write a brief sentence or two explaining who you are and why you're reaching out. Because if somebody just sends me a connection to request and I don't know them, I haven't met them, I don't know who they are or what they need, chances are I don't connect with them. But if they explain, like Judge did, who and why he was connecting, I'm more than happy to do that.
Okay. And Foster, is that true for you too?
Yes,
go to LinkedIn for Foster Williams?
Yes, same thing. Please link in with me. My name is Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R, and last name is Williams with an S. I would strongly suggest that any job seeker all over anywhere in the globe, go to www.search.com. And what you want to do for sure is to look at the job postings that are there. They're network job posting. That means that we know the people that are responsible for
hiring. We only have one more second. Guys, thank you so much for your show. It's been a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Actually, the show ended when Foster was still talking. I couldn't get the thank yous into both of you. The show ended when Foster was still talking. So,
oh, that's all right. I'm always running my mouth.
There you go.
Okay.
That ain't fun.
So I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna hang up and call you guys right back. I'm gonna hang up and call you right back.
Excellent. Okay.
That was fun. That was fun.